As I was sitting there listening to Jimmy play, I thought back for just a little bit with everything that's going on this morning when I was at Bluefield College. And I decided I was going to stay up there that year and work in a church. And also I was the head residence and taking care of international students that couldn't go home in a dorm, and making sure that they understood some of the things that we were not allowed to do in dorms that they were allowed to do at their homes. And that was taking of some certain kinds of smoking inhalation type of medications known as marijuana that they did in their home countries. And so that was part of my job. But I decided to take a class too, and we had the famous JP. And JP gave me voice lessons, and one, we found out I couldn't sing. I did find out I was not tone deaf. I thought I was because so many people told me I was because I never hit any right notes. But so anyway, I took the class and figured that one of these days I might have to lead the music. It didn't help. It didn't help. Well, then I went to Southwestern Seminary, and I took a class in music under Dr. Reynolds, who has written the hymnals, Baptist hymnals that we have. And we were doing more of a worship, and that one I did much better in because I could write a word of worship. It was the leading part I couldn't do. So anyway, we're glad that you're here, and we did make it, and I'm now back in the normal situation where I'm supposed to be at. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Psalms chapter 1. As we look at this morning, we like to look at a tree planted. Most people are planting flowers, and some have already done it and was hoping and banking on that we would not have any cold weather and kill them. But so we did get lucky. But if you have been watching the news, it's supposed to get colder today and tonight. Buffalo's going to get slammed with snow. And they've even mentioned that same word around here for a little bit. So you might watch out. Psalms chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, he says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit at the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." As we think about this, we see that the Bible uses many images, and this is the one they use. If you know anything of history of Israel, you know that it is barren, it is dry, it is hot, and they're always looking for oases and things like this. And wherever there is always growth of shrubberies and things like that that is there. And out in the desert, there's not. So as we think about this, this is what God is using. This is what the psalmist is sharing with us this morning. This is what he's saying. The blessed man is one who is like a tree that's been planted by the rivers of water. Now, you know a tree will grow if it's got the right things. I remember as a child, my dad planted a little tree, and he wanted it to grow. So what he did is he went out there, he put it in the ground, he poured the water in it and all that, he planted that thing, he dug him a trench around it. And every day he would go out there and he would take that bag of fertilizer and pour in that trench. And then he would fill that up with water. That tree just said, and up like that. It had everything it needed and it grew. Sadly enough, after 10, 15 years, he decided it was causing mold on the house and everything and had to cut it down. But you see, that's what we're talking about here this morning, like a tree planted. And that's what God has done with us this morning. We are like a tree that's been planted. We are like a tree. God has given us the nourishment that we need to grow as Christians. And so this morning, as we look at that, we want to see this beautiful picture and that we must know. Now, there is a word that is about this long, and I have tried my best to pronounce it and to learn it. It's called dendrochronology. And if you try to pronounce this, it's dendrochronology. And as we think about that, that is the science, the study of dating events and variations of environments in formal periods of comparative study of growth rings and trees and aged woods. In other words, all they do is they cut a tree down and they look at the rings, they count the rings, and from there they can tell you how old the tree was. In Mount Rainier North National Park, we see that they have done a cross-section of a giant Douglas fir, and they have showed that this tree is 655 years old at the time of this writing. And its rings are noted to have amazing, interesting facts. For instance, when Columbus discovered America, it was 234 years old. When America gained independence, it was 512 years old. This particular tree was around during the Civil War, but it was also around during World War I. And so you see, it was things that that can teach us a lot. It is the study of the history of trees. And truly, trees are amazing, aren't they? We can look into them. They serve as witnesses to the events of history. And we have the same thing too, don't we? We have John Smith. We have different ones. We've had the Great Awakening with all of the great evangelists, Billy Graham and Billy Sunday, and all of those that we can use as the same thing as these rings that has come about. Now, with the great preachers that we've had, the question becomes, who's the next Billy Graham? Who's the next great evangelist that's going to take over? As we look at that, it's interesting that we study this and know, because also we're seeing religion change, aren't we? We're seeing churches are changing. New styles of churches are coming out. They have identified, and Dr. Upton, as Bill said earlier at the meeting, has been with all of these people, got together with all of these world leaders, and what they're saying is every 400 years, we'll see churches change a total different complex. In other words, 400 years ago, churches were not doing what we're doing today in worship. It was totally different. And that's what they're saying, is that they're going to see this, and we're in that change right now. Most new churches that start don't even put Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian on their names. They're usually so-and-so community church or so-and-so church. So they've disassociated themselves with associations, with denominations, and this type of thing. And so we're seeing new styles of worship, new styles of music, and all of this is taking place. And I know that my parents are having a hard time with it. Guitars, drums in church. But it's changing. Now, the thing that's interesting about this, we're not going to see that complete change. Or at least I'm not. I will be dead by the time that comes along. I'll be in heaven, and it'll be perfect there anyway. But you will see this change that comes along, and our children are going to see this change that will take place. So as we look at this, as we see that we're like a tree planted, and the question becomes is, how does that tree grow in these different transitional modes? We have had a new wave that came in. It was called seeker-friendly churches. And we were going out and we were trying to find unchurched, unchristians. And we were friendly seekers, meaning we were going to reach out to these that were unchurched. The question became, once these seekers came to church, once they came and worshiped, once they came and accepted God, what next? And our great leader says, we were just seeker friendly. We weren't looking at growing them. We were just looking to bring them to church. So you see, is that really scripture to what the psalmist is writing here? We brought them, we got them, we planted the seed, but we forgot to water. And so as we look at this morning, we need to see how we can do this and see that a tree planted describes the character of God and the way that he works with us. Note the position that we see by the water, always close to living resources. I love to watch people that have all the time in the world working in their yards. They are the most manicured. I have one that lives right next door to me, and I get so upset with him, because every time you come out, their yard is perfect. Our yard, anything that's green, we identify as grass. I keep it trimmed. I keep it cut. But his is about 3 inches tall. You get on it, you could take your shoes off, and it's barefooted, and you could just have a ball in that grass. In fact, I think my cat does. Their dogs do out there. Every time I look out there, they're just all in it. But he keeps it so manicured, and they run these weed killers in it that gets rid of all the dandelions that the wind blows out of my yard into his yard, you know, that probably got blew from somewhere else. But as we think about that, he manicures it. He works on it. She's got all these flower beds over there, and she goes out there, and she's got these little snips, you know, and she snips here and snips there, and she's got it, and it is beautiful. It really is. It's beautiful. And they've got the time to do all of that. And as I'm thinking about that, as I'm sharing about that, isn't that what God's doing with us? Isn't that exactly what he's saying here? We are by the water. We are a tree planted by the river. And then it is, we are never thirsty, are we? My wife has a plant in my office. I have strict orders to look at it and not touch. Because if I touch it, it will die. Guarantee it will die. So just a few minutes ago, she walks in there, and the first thing she does is look at it and looks at me, and I hadn't touched it. And she reaches over there, and she says, oh, it's dry. So she had to go get a cup of water and, you know, take care of it. And it is growing. It's been there, what, 6 months? Almost 6 months now? And it's growing. It is growing. She's going to have to do something because it's taken over my office. You know, either that or I'm going to have to touch it. And see, I'm already getting that look. No, don't you dare touch it. That's where God is. He touches things, and he wakes, and he waters, and he feeds us, doesn't he? The result is life abundantly, not one that is dry. John 7:38 says, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow within him. Have you ever thought about that? How does it flow within us? Have you ever walked into a store, never met the person, but you knew they were a Christian? You could just tell they were a Christian, that they love God? Have you ever met somebody like, or should I say, are you that way? Can people walk in a store, see you, and know that you're a person of God? And this is what we're talking about, the streams that will flow through us. And this is what God has made us for, is for those streams to flow through us, so that others can see it, others can be watered. I was over at the store yesterday at the Harley store, and one of the sales managers said, my brother drove all the way down here, and he gave me a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper was a scripture verse that I needed to hear that day. Streams of water. His brother didn't know what the situation was. He just knew he needed to give him that scripture. And Patrick looked at me, and he says, I needed it. He says, God knew what I was going through. He knew all the hassles I was having. And yet his brother brought him that scripture verse. When's the last time we gave somebody comfort with scriptures and didn't really know the situation at hand? And this is what we see. The application, if you don't know that joy of salvation, you can't give it. And yet we've got so many Christians that have it, but don't express the joy. I mean, some of the most depressed people that you look around and talk to, and after you get to know them, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, you sure can't tell it by their joy, can you? You know, we sung that song, I've got the joy, joy down in my heart. Do we? Do we really have it there? Or has it just gone somewhere? Where is the joy of Jesus Christ? You know, Paul writes that, you know, in all things we are to give thanks. We're to be joyful in all things. And I realize it's hard sometimes. But the good thing is Jesus promised what? I will always be with you. And that is what we see today. And so we need to know that. And we need to know that our life is not barren, that it is fruitful. Notice the permanence. Planted. We've got people that are like tumbleweeds. The wind blows, and you ever seen it? I've not been out west, but I'd love to go out there and see it. But I've seen it on TV where they have these little bushes, and all they do when the wind blows, what do? They just roll wherever the wind blows them. They're that. Permanently on a tree. unless there is a great tornado, a hurricane, or some winds or something like that, a tree is not going to be moved, is it? There are times we think when we're in a house and the wind is blowing that it's going to come down, but it has permanent, it has roots. And how do you get a tree up? You ever tried to dig one up? How many ever got every root that was ever in the ground up with that tree? If you're like me, you start digging a hole, and the next thing you know, you just get an axe and do what? Cutting the heck out of it, right? That's the only way you're going to get it up. You're not going to get those roots up because they're permanent. They leave a permanency in there. And this is what God is saying. We too are planted and we have permanency. We need to be a permanent fixture for God. Salvation is the work of God in our lives. And the scriptures that we read, it becomes our roots, isn't it? When the more we read, the deeper it gets. Just like when my dad poured that fertilizer and that water on that tree, the more that it began to grow. And this is what God is saying for us. We need to begin to grow in Christ. He's given us the permanency. He's given us the roots to find the nutrients that we need. He has given us the water. And we won't. Paul says in Ephesians 3:17, he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then he continues in Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. When's the last time we have been rooted and built up? We need to teach. We need to train. And then we need to send out. Isn't that what Jesus did? He took 12 men. He brought them in. And he constantly was teaching them, not just in different style, one style. I grew up lecture-wise, but in different ways. He took them. He did hands-on. Remember Peter? Walked on the water until what? He lost faith. That was the lesson, wasn't it? If you don't have faith, you can't do it. And when he lost faith, he found out he was going to drown real quick. Until what? He got his faith back and said, Jesus, help me. Jesus took those disciples and he taught them. And then he sent them out. And then he brought them back in and he taught them some more. And then right before he died, he left them the Great Commission. They didn't understand that Great Commission until after he died and ascended to heaven. And the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, what happened? Everything that they had learned, everything that had been taught, all of a sudden came to a head, and they began preaching and teaching the Word of God. And Paul went from place to place doing what? Starting new churches. He didn't just start the church and 6 months later move to the next one. But he stayed there 2-3 years, whatever it took to do what? To lay that foundation. And that is what we need to do today. We need to teach and train and lay foundations in our young people, in our children, in each one of us, in newborn Christians. And we need to teach them to have roots. The third thing we see this morning is the notice of productivity. Bring forth fruit. This is part of God's purpose for us, to bring fruit. You remember Jesus looked at him, he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And it is for that purpose that I've chosen you. God could send down 1 million angels, couldn't he? God could rule this earth. God could make us worship him. But the choice is ours. And he gave that to us too. It is our choice to do that. But he says, you've not chosen me. I have chosen you. And the purpose is to be fruitful. Remember when he created Adam and Eve, what did he tell them to do? Be fruitful and multiply. When the floods came, he looked at Noah and he said, what? Be fruitful and multiply. But when Jesus came, it was not be fruitful and multiply in the physical sense. When Jesus came along, it was be fruitful and multiply in a spiritual sense. That is what he came for, is to give us that spiritual that we needed. He needed to give us extra strength and help. And so he says, what do we need? We need to come and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. In John 15:16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. His desire is that we be fruitful. That was what he died on the cross for us to be fruitful and to multiply spiritually. And we have failed to be productive. How do I know that? Because we're not worshiping in churches like we used to. We have seen in the last 5 years a decline in Christianity in the United States. We've seen a decline in churches. We've seen a decline in baptisms in the United States. So what does that tell us? We're not being fruitful and multiplying. But yet, we are hearing stories of missionaries where they're baptizing 500, 1,000, and 5,000 of people in other countries. And missionaries have been asked to come back and be pastors of churches in the United States. And you know what their answer is? No. Why should I come somewhere that is dead when I've got a fruitful area to work in? And they'd rather stay over there and serve where people are accepting Jesus Christ. And so we see that when we do it. Now, I've already shared about that one, but I've also tried planting tomato plants. And I've tried every way they can. And I've had some healthy plants come up. Green leaves, yellow buds, or flowers. And I'm thinking, oh my gracious, 1, 2, 3, I'm going to have a dozen tomatoes. After the yellow flower does this number, that's as far as it went. What happened? I didn't do something right. My wife won't give me the secret either. She can grow them, but I can't. But you see, this is exactly what happens. We are disappointed when the things that we try to work don't happen. In Luke 13:7, he says, "So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 'For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?'" When I lived in Richmond, we had a guy that was next door that had a cherry tree. And he had some of the prettiest cherries, and he had a time keeping the birds out of it and getting any himself. But he continually worked on that. And I was out there in the yard working one day, and I looked over there, and he had his chainsaw, and he was cutting one of the big branches down. So being nosy that I was, inquisitive, I went over and I said, "What are you doing, Mason?" He said, "I'm cutting it down." I said, "What are you cutting it down for?" He says, "It's not producing." He cut it down. That did not need to take time in his time. This is what he's saying, and I wonder if this is what he means to us. If we're not producing, is he going to cut us down? As we think about that this morning, are we producing? In Florida, we went down to see Angie's mom during the times that they were going down, mom and dad, when they were staying down there during the summertime. And we stayed with this lady that was a friend of theirs, and they had an orange tree out back. And it was the best thing in the world to do was get up in the morning, go out there, pick your oranges, and make your own orange juice. But you know, if that tree had not put oranges there, you know what they'd have done? Cut it down. We plant apple trees for what? Produce apples. And if they don't do it, they cut them down. When we were up to see our son, when he was up in Buffalo, we were by vineyards, on top of vineyards. And then all of a sudden, there was one that was there, and it had the strings and all the posts and all those sitting there, but no plants. They had just cut them all down because they quit producing, and they were getting ready to put new ones in. If it doesn't produce, they cut it down. So how does that relate to us this morning? The sole purpose that God has put us on this earth was to bear fruit. To bear fruit. We're to bear other Christians, aren't we? That's what he's called us to do. He wants us to see. He wants us to share with others. And God has changed our lives, and he wants us to help change other lives by what they see within us. Now, when I was in school, we did the Sunday school blitz where we went door-to-door knocking, talking to people, inviting people to church, and those types of things. And I'm not saying we have to go out here this morning and leave here and then go knock on doors. But what I am saying is, to me, the Great Commission means simply this. As you are going anywhere in this time of day, if you leave here and go to the grocery store, if you go to the ball field, if you go out to a restaurant, we should be what? Able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. People should see it in us. God is the one that planted us, and it is to fulfill His purpose and His will. Now, I have an answer for that part. If we do not produce, I don't really have an answer, except in the last verse when we said, we will be judged. Now, if you read the scriptures, you go into Revelations and read the Revelations, you still don't know what the judgment's going to be. We do know one thing about that for sure. We do know in Revelations that we will still be in heaven. But what kind of a judgment are we going to have? I don't know. The scriptures doesn't say. I do know this. When that day comes that I stand before God, I don't want Him to look at me and say, I came seeking fruit and found none. I hope that He will also look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So as we think about it this morning, are we like a tree planted by the river? Are we set up that we are bearing fruit this morning? Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this morning that You've given us the time to look at these scriptures. As we look at this first chapter, the Psalms, Father, we just pray that You will help us, that we will take the water that You've given us, the nutrients, the fertilizer, the food that You have given us, and that we will partake of it, that we will grow and be rooted in the name of Jesus Christ, that our roots will be strong and deep, that our trunk will stand tall, and we will produce the fruits that You've led us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.